Thank you for listening to The Well Podcast. For resources and information on how you can support our mission to proclaim the gospel and make disciples, please visit us online at www.boulderwell.org.
Hey church, it is so good to be with you here online this morning. No matter where you're watching this from, it's great to be with you. Hey, before I dive into the sermon here this morning, I just wanted to thank you for joining us online. It really is an honor and a privilege to get to serve you in ministry of the word this way. And so I know these are trying times, and honestly, gathering here is awesome for me. It's good for my soul, so I just want to say thanks for being here. You are blessing me by participating in the church, even though we're forced to not be in person but be online. So I just want to take a second and say thank you, and just welcome you from our church, and even if you're just like, maybe your church doesn't have an online service, man, I'm just glad that you're here and we all get to worship together. And so I just want to say that before we dove into our sermon here this morning. I also want to just say this is you know, like the reality of this circumstance that we're facing is it's intense, it's unprecedented. A lot of us don't know what to do. But one thing I just want to encourage you with, and I think we'll see this in our sermon here this morning actually, is the beauty of the church is that nothing can stop the church. The church is created by God, and God is in control of it, and He is in control of all things, and the church will prevail. And so what an awesome, awesome thing it is to gather and to get to be part of it. But I also want to say, hey, if you're in need or you need anything, let us know. You can get prayer during this service, or you can also email us at care@boulderwell.org if you need anything. And so I just wanted to reiterate that. I know we probably are going to tell you that a ton of times, but we just want to make sure you know how to get care here at The Well. Well, with that said, would you pray with me as we get ready to dive into our message here this morning? If you would, please pray with me. Lord, you are sovereign and you are good. Please remind us of that here as we gather and as we worship you. May our souls be settled. May your presence be palpable. And may your goodness wash over us and renew our spirits in a way that only you can do it. God, we thank you for all that you've done for us. We especially thank you for sending your son, Jesus, who has given us life and life everlasting. It is in your glorious name we pray. Amen. Amen. All right. Well, as I have navigated this week, I'm experiencing a lot of the same things that you all are, which is one of the things I'm having a lot more downtime to sit around and think than I normally have. It's been busy, it's been crazy, but I've also found these pockets of time where really it's just sit and think. And during my times of kind of contemplation and prayer, I've kind of had a theme that's run through my mind, particularly this week. And that theme is the idea of joy. Now, that might sound weird. You might be going, what are you talking about joy here in this season? You see, joy has always been something that I've been interested in and wanted to know about and study more because, you see, joy is a biblical concept that can bring a lot of hope into our lives. Joy is different than happiness. A lot of times we can kind of mix those things. You see, happiness is an emotion that's kind of dependent on present circumstances. But what the Bible shows us joy is something that actually isn't dependent on circumstances. It's something that happens within us, that God does in us and sustains us no matter what circumstance we're facing. You see, joy is really what we need in trying times. And we see this play out over and over and over again throughout Scripture. One of my favorite passages about joy is from a guy named James. James is an interesting character if you're not familiar with the Bible. James is the brother of Jesus, and he wrote a book in the Bible. But one of the things that he says about joy is found in James chapter 1, verses 2 through 3. And he says this, "Count it all joy, my brothers, when you meet trials of various kinds, for you know that the testing of your faith, it produces steadfastness." Now, the assumption that James is making here is that we can have joy in the midst of various trials. That we can have joy in the midst of various trials. And you know what? I would be pretty certain of this, that all of us gathered here online this morning could use some joy, right? I think we could all use some joy. That we need to be reminded that joy is something that we can have in the midst of our trials that we are facing. And yes, it's hard right now. It's hard right now to experience happiness, but we can know the reality of the joy of the Lord in our present circumstances. Because having joy, it's not dependent on our circumstances. And I really want to drive that home here this morning. And if you've been attending our services for a while, or even just last week online for the first time, you know that we're studying in the book of Proverbs right now. And the book of Proverbs is a great book to be studying, particularly in this season, as we discussed last week. It is a book that's all about wisdom. And we discussed last week how we all need wisdom. Well, this book of wisdom also discusses this topic of joy, and how wisdom and joy work together. And so I would like to go to the book of Proverbs and read what we have there. And so I'm thankful for this passage because it means a lot to me, particularly in this season. And it's Proverbs chapter 17, verse 22. It says this, "A joyful heart is good medicine, but a crushed spirit dries up the bones." Let me read that again for you one more time. Let the word of God just come to you here in this moment. A joyful heart, it is good medicine, but a crushed spirit dries up the bones. I get it. Maybe you feel like right now, man, you're not joyful, you're not cheerful. You feel more like the crushed spirit and dried bones. Well, hopefully by the end of this passage today, you become a more joyful person, and you learn the joy that's offered to you here this morning. One of the things that stands out to me in that passage, as we look at it, is that it presumes that we need medicine. Did you catch that? It presumes that you need medicine. This echoes what we've read from James. Joy exists in the midst of pain. It's not separate from pain, right? It's not something, it's not like, oh, we're only joyful when nothing's bad. That's not what we read in there at all. We see that joy and pain interlock with each other often. Therefore, being joyful or being cheerful, what does that mean? Well, let me tell you something it doesn't mean. It doesn't mean that we're pretending that everything is fine when everything's not fine. I don't know about you, but I find that pretty refreshing. I find that pretty refreshing that we don't have to pretend that everything's okay when things aren't okay to be a joyful person. Joy doesn't say you can't be a little scared. You aren't allowed to be concerned about your present circumstances. Quite the opposite, actually. Joy works in tandem with our concerns and helps us appropriately respond to our current situations. What it does is it allows us to face our present circumstances honestly, all the while possessing deep and enduring peace that allows us to continue with life. Because that's what we got to do right now, right? We have to continue with life, even if life looks totally different than it did just a week ago, right? So this begs the question, though. This begs the question, how do you get that joy? How does one obtain that joy? I want that joy. I know you want that joy. How do we get it? Well, there's a lot of opinions out there, right? There's a lot of opinions out there about how we find joy. You could read lots of books on it and all sorts of things. How we obtain joy, people, some would say friends, family, or maybe enjoying the outdoors, maybe even good food and good drink. And those things are all good things. But those opinions of what brings joy kind of break down when we face something like we're in right now with the coronavirus, right? Because we don't get to experience those things. And remember, joy is not dependent on circumstances, right? And as we're experiencing right now, many of us are not able to experience the things that we thought brought us joy. And we might be left kind of just wondering what to do next. And so that logically leads us to a place where we must admit that we need to get our joy from something else above present circumstances, something that's never changing, something that will always be there no matter what happens in life. And this is where the gospel comes in, friends. The gospel of Jesus Christ, the good news of Jesus Christ for you and for me. Jesus Christ, the Son of God, came to earth so that we might have joy. Like, think about that. God left heaven and came to earth so that we might have joy. Yes, he came for the glory of God, but he also came so that we might have joy. If you don't believe me, look, it came out of Jesus' own mouth. As Jesus was talking to his disciples in John 15:11, he said this, "These things I've spoken to you, that my joy may be in you, and that your joy may be full." Isn't that amazing? It's amazing. Jesus, speaking to his disciples, tells them why he came, so that his joy might be in them, and not just like a little bit, but so that it might be full. Let that just permeate in your mind for a moment. Just think about that for a minute. Isn't that amazing? What they didn't know, though, the disciples, as Jesus said that to them, that shortly after telling them this, that he would go to the cross, and that he would die for our sins, that he would be our substitute. Why did he do that? So that our joy could be made complete, so that we could find joy in having our relationship with God the Father restored. Look what John, who we just read, he wrote that passage that Jesus said. Look what he wrote after the death and resurrection of Jesus in 1 John verses 1 through 4. He says this, "That which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our own eyes, which we looked upon and have touched with our hands concerning the word of life." Just stop there for a second. What's he talking about? He's talking about Jesus. He's saying that which we've seen, that which we have touched. He's saying we have seen Jesus. Listen, he continues in verse 2. "The life was made manifest, and we have seen it and testified to it and proclaimed to you the eternal life which was with the Father and was made manifest to us." He's still talking about Jesus, right? Verse 3. "That which we have seen and heard, we proclaim also to you." We share this with you so that you too may have fellowship with us. "And indeed our fellowship is with the Father and with his Son, Jesus Christ." Now listen to this. This is the key part in verse 4. "And we are writing these things so that our joy may be made complete." What's John saying? He's saying that the revelation of Jesus Christ is where the fullness of joy is found. That it is only through Jesus. Friends, hear me. True joy comes from Jesus. True joy comes from Jesus. You see, Jesus, by going to the cross and dying, but rising from the grave 3 days later, walking out of that grave, shows us the greatest sadness, the greatest fear, the scariest thing in the world. Death has been defeated. We follow God that has defeated death. That has defeated death. And he has promised us the same resurrection power, that one day he will return, and on that day death will be dead. Death will be dead, and we will rise to life everlasting. Those that know Jesus as their Lord can face what is in front of them with joy, not fake happiness, compensating for fear, but a calm presence that embraces the brokenness of this world honestly, but knows that Jesus will one day return and destroy all pain and suffering, and that is our future hope. Remember our passage in Proverbs that we started with. A joyful heart is good medicine, but a crushed spirit dries up the bones. Joy is the medicine you need. So what am I saying? You got to take your medicine today. But it's a good medicine. It's not that kind of medicine that when you're a kid, your parents made you take and it tasted terrible, right? This is good medicine that we are to take. And it might be, we might not want to, but the invitation is to take our medicine in a sense, because the medicine that God gives is joy and it brings life to us. If you haven't done that, if you haven't experienced the joy of God, and by that I mean you haven't come to Jesus and professed that he is Lord, then I'd invite you to do that here and now and say, "Jesus, I need your help. I want your joy." And the beautiful thing is this, is that the Bible says that if you do that, he will come to you in your time of need. If he knocks and you open the door, he will come and sit with you and he will dine with you. God will be with you. The presence of God will be with you. And for those of you that would say, Jesus is your Lord? Well, let me encourage you with a practical way, something practical. I guess it's kind of practical, but a thing to just help you out in this season as you're seeking the joy of the Lord more fully yourself. And it's this. And it might sound a little strange, so hang in there with me. But I would encourage you to use this season to learn how to grieve losses well. Learning how to grieve your losses well. I said hang in there with me. I know it sounds strange. A joyful person must have the capacity to grieve their losses. That's a key component of being a joyful person, is the ability to grieve losses. Here's the truth. Many of you have a lot of losses to grieve right now. You see, a joyful person must have the capacity to grieve their losses. And here's the truth. Many of us right now, and I'm sure all of us at some level, have some losses to grieve. Just today, honestly, I was on a phone call with Acts 29, our network that we're part of that helps us plant churches. And there was over 150 pastors from around the world on this call, and the director of Europe spoke up, and he gave us an update on what's going on in Italy in regards to the coronavirus, and it was just heartbreaking hearing what's going on. And so, man, I know for me personally, I'm grieving the losses that my brothers and sisters are experiencing in Italy right now, and I just can't help but think about the pastors there that are ministering to people and how much work needs to be done, and there's losses to be grieved. This week, I've spoken to people who've been informed that they're losing their job because, well, of all that's going on, and so that is a loss to grieve. I've spoken to business owners that have had to lay people off that they don't want to and are worried about their business. Like, listen, the truth is, as we've discussed this topic of joy, is that we don't have to fake the difficulties of life, right? That's not what we're called to, but we do need to grieve them. We do need to grieve the sad things in life. And there's a lot of things to grieve, and maybe it's not loss of life or loss of job. Maybe it's just loneliness for you right now. It's okay. You're invited. God is big enough to handle that, and He invites you to grieve that loss with Him and let Him be the comfort to your soul that you need, to invite God the Holy Spirit to come and bring comfort that you need. But to do that, you need to be able to grieve that, experience the comforting effect of God, and then know His joy fresh and new every day. That's the invitation. You see, when we grieve our losses, we're being honest with God. We're being honest to God with about what's going on in us and around us. And you're not covering up the sadness that you're feeling. You're appropriately bringing it before the Lord. Listen, you can right now, go to God and say, my heart is broken over what I'm experiencing. My heart is broken over what is happening to those that have contracted this virus. My heart is broken for people losing their jobs. My heart is broken for the sadness and the loneliness that I'm experiencing. You can go to God with that right now. In their book, The Relational Soul, Jim Cofield and Rich Plass kind of get to the heart of this really well. And they say this in their book. We must go through a process of awakening, weeping, and recalibrating in order to increase our capacity to live more fully alive. In other words, we must become increasingly aware of how we have related to the past, grieve over the limits and losses of how and what we have lived, and find a way to live more fully in and from our true self. You see, it is only when we learn to grieve the sad, broken things in life that we are freed to experience the wonderful joy of Jesus, that we are able to live more fully into who God would have us be. And that comes through grieving. On the other side of grief can be joy. The Apostle Paul, I think, sums it up better than anybody, and I'd love to read what he said to you. I believe the Apostle Paul sums this up well. In 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verses 16 through 18, he says this, "So we do not lose heart, though our outer self, it is wasting away. Our inner self is being renewed day by day." That's the joy part, right? "For this light momentary affliction is preparing for us an eternal weight of glory beyond all comparison, as we look not to the things that are seen, but to the things that are unseen. For the things that are seen are transient, but the things that are unseen are eternal. That's good, isn't it? We grieve, but we do not lose heart because the future glory is beyond comparison of any pain we can feel now. So what do we need today? What do you need today? I can tell you that. We all need the joy that can only come through knowing Jesus. Why? Why do we need that? A joyful heart is good medicine. A joyful heart is good medicine. I pray that that is an encouragement to your soul and that the joy that God has for you is more palpable today than it's ever been in your life. Would you pray with me? Lord, you are good to us. You are kind and you are loving. You give us the wonderful gift of joy. What a gift it is. We thank you for it. We praise you for it. And we want more of it. And we know now, Lord, if we want more joy, we need more of you. So would you give us more of yourself? Give us tangible, practical, real ways to engage that. And Lord, I just want to pray for those that are here now, that are watching this in their living rooms or on their phone or wherever they might be, those that do not know you, that they would now go, man, I want the joy of the Lord, and that they would pray right now, God, give me your joy. And God, would you save? Would you do what only you can do? I want to pray for those that are affected by the virus globally. Would you begin to heal? Would you do something miraculous in our midst? God, I want to pray for the church, that the church would be the conduit in which the world would see your beauty and experience your joy. May we continue to serve and love as you have called us to do. And God, I just want to pray for those that just feel confused and scared or alone or fearful about the future. May they rest in you. May right now they take a deep breath and know that you are present and you love them more than they know. May we all know that. It's in your name I pray. Amen.
Thank you for listening to the Well Podcast. For resources and information on how you can support our mission to proclaim the gospel and make disciples, please visit us online at www.boulderwell.org.